when 14 students and three staffers were slaughtered by a gunman at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, a year ago today. Hundreds more students joined a terrible club, survivors of a school shooting. And waiting for them there, survivors of the Columbine shooting. Nearly 20 years ago, two young men killed 13, wounded more than 200, and terrorized a community in what was then the worst high school shooting in U.S. history in Columbine, Colorado. Now some of the Columbine survivors have been helping the Parkland kids. Amy Over is a part of that. She's now 38, a mother of two in Colorado. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here, because I'm imagining this is the anniversary of another school shooting. It's another group of kids, but I'm wondering if it hits you as well.
It definitely hits me as well. I was 18 years old when I went through my shooting, and as a mother of two now, it definitely hits me really hard.
Yeah. It's interesting because in reading a lot of the Columbine survivors' accounts, they say that therapists at the time told you that down the road, you know, when you have kids, you're going to get triggered again.
That has definitely happened. It's been a long journey. Mm. So I've gone through phases where I have, you know, had to find out how I cope. I really struggled when I became a mom, and when my daughter started school is when I had my first panic attack. I had to go back to therapy because I essentially just was re-traumatized, and I was afraid that this was going to happen again to my child.
Oh, just a cautionary tale to mm-hmm. the Parkland students, you know, and I know some of you from Columbine have been reaching out to them. We want to talk about that as well. But
definitely,
to get across what this means, I mean, panic attack. Some people might think, oh, your heart fluttered. Is this the day that you dropped your child off at preschool?
Yes, it was the first day I dropped my daughter off at preschool. And it's supposed to be an exciting, happy time. All the parents are taking pictures of their backpacks. And I'm literally having a horrible panic attack and almost collapsed. I ended up going straight to the hospital.
People thought you were having a heart attack.
I thought I was dying.
Yeah.
I thought I was literally dying.
And the doctor says to you, you know, could anything have caused this?
Yeah, I was like, well, I just dropped my daughter off at school and I'm a Columbine survivor. And he was like, well, I think you're having a panic attack.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can laugh about it now, but it was a really dark time in my life and embarrassing because, you know, at that point I was almost 10 years out of my shooting and I was thinking, why am I still struggling?
Yeah. I mean, people who talk about triggers, that's become sort of such a cliche, but it's a real thing. I mean, mm-hmm. this is, you couldn't have stopped that if you had wanted to. What is it? Is it like ice in your veins? Like, what is it?
It just feels awful. Like if a car backfires or 4th of July, as a survivor, it's kind of like just an awful time.
You mentioned car backfire, and another time you were with another Columbine survivor friend, and you're in a parking garage, and a car backfires, and what'd you guys do?
We dropped to the ground. We literally both just fell to the ground.
Yeah.
And we laughed about it. We were like, wow, 19 years out of our shooting and look what we're doing.
Yeah. Look, I don't, you know, we don't want to go anywhere that might cause you that discomfort again. But can you tell us what happened that day almost 20
Definitely.
Years ago?
Yeah, I was a senior in high school about to graduate. I was just getting ready to play basketball at a junior college, so kind of felt like my life was on track, mm-hmm. and said goodbye to my basketball coach, Dave Sanders. He's the one that passed away. Mm-hmm. Went to a few classes and came down for lunch, and that's when the shooting started. Luckily, I saw my coach, and he kind of told us to get away from the windows.
You know, Columbine started outside. All of you could hear it, this outside, mm-hmm. and he told you to get away from the windows?
He told us to get away from the windows and get down.
Yeah.
He essentially saved my life, saved hundreds of kids' lives that day, thousands of kids' lives. Mm-hmm. As soon as I saw my coach tell us to run, because one of the gunmen were coming in, the other one was outside shooting at us as we ran out.
Mm. It's a nightmare. You know,
it is a nightmare, and I can't mm-hmm. imagine what my mom... I do remember calling her and saying there was a shooting at the school and I was okay. And then I hung up. Mm-hmm. So my poor mom. Mm-hmm. just can't imagine what she went through.
Well, you can now, you know,
yeah.
because
yeah.
two children, one daughter's a teen, they're having lockdown drills.
Yes. Yes.
Does she know?
She does. I shared with her about my tragedy when she was 11 years old. During one of the anniversaries, I shared with her. She had a lot of questions, and I felt like that was the appropriate age to share that with her. Now, I didn't go into detail as to, you know, what I saw or anything, but I did tell her that I was in a shooting, and I showed her, you know, where I was that day. Mm-hmm. And she's just a big part of that day for me now. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like a day of healing and a day of peace for my family.
In April.
So,
well, you're also, as we said, part of this horrible but noble, you know, wonderful in many ways club.
Yes.
Of survivors. And you're part of something called the Rebels Project, formed by Columbine survivors after the Aurora Theater shooting, two horrendous shootings
yes.
in Colorado. You were Columbine survivors reaching out to Aurora Theater survivors, now to Parkland. And they're looking. They've seen things you've said.
A few Parkland kiddos have reached out to me and have just said, you know, I've seen some of your other pieces that you've done, and especially like with your daughter, and thank you. And they've reached out about some of their phases they're going through right now.
What do you want them to know?
I just want them to know that there is a huge support system out there for them when they're ready to embark on that journey. I want them to take care of themselves. I know that sometimes you think you're okay for years, but eventually if you don't deal with it, it's going to come rear its ugly head. So yeah. Someday you're going to have to deal with this. It's just a hard, I can't believe it's been a year. Mm-hmm. Their pain that they've endured it's too much.
Well, but I'm hearing you, Amy Over, and I'm thinking you're mid-30s, but to many of us, you're still that kid from Columbine. I mean, we feel the same way about you.
But it's not all negative. I've got to meet amazing people, and especially working with the Rebels Project, I've got to help a lot of people. So that gives me hope. That gives me just power to just get through this, you know. I mean, this is it. This is my life, and this was the cards that I've been dealt, and I just want to help others, especially in their mental health journey.
I want to add one other thing to that, because we're reading about some of your fellow survivors. Austin Eubanks, his best friend next to him was killed. He was shot. He was prescribed opiates. He became an addict. Who would think of these side effects? Spent years getting over that addiction. And one of the things he wants to tell Parkland students is, you know, go for it. It's amazing. They have these social media platforms, and they have created these lives, many of them, of activism. But his message is, don't get so fully consumed with your activism that you detach from your healing.
He hit it perfect. Exactly. Just as a mom, even if I wasn't in a mass shooting, I just would tell them to take care of yourself. And this is a lifelong adventure, lifelong journey, a lifelong thing you're going to have to deal with. I love their activism. I do. I wish that I had one Parkland kid ask me when I was working with them last year, why didn't you fight? And I told him, I said, we didn't know to fight. It was one of the first mass shootings, so we didn't know to be activists. We didn't have the social media platforms. I told him, I was like, I had a pager. I was like, and he's like, what's a pager? I didn't know to fight. So I said, we pretty much wanted everyone to leave us alone. The media encroached on our privacy. It was very publicized. It was really exhausting and very difficult with, you know, cameras in your face all the time. We didn't want that light shined on us at that time.
I can hear what you're saying, that you wish you'd stepped up on. I'm gathering maybe on issues of mental health and guns and those issues that the Parkland kids are taking up. It feels to me like there must be such a feeling of love between you and them? And we know there's parents who've lost children who fly in to these scenes right after they happen. I can't even imagine that feeling that you have for each other.
It's a beautiful thing when you meet another survivor. And I'll get emotional right now, because when you finally meet somebody that gets you and understands exactly what you've gone through, there's so much power in that. It's just so powerful when you get to hug another survivor.
Amy Over, a survivor of the Columbine shootings and director of fundraising for the Rebels Project.
Yes.
How sad that it's grown. How wonderful, though, for the people who need it. Amy, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.